Amen. Good to see you here tonight. I hope you've had a good week in the Lord. It is good to know that God's still on the throne. And He is still in charge of everything that goes on. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But it's good to know the God of heaven and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is our personal Lord and Savior. We'll be in Psalms 116 tonight. Psalms 116, we'll continue looking at this verse. We started, I think, it might have been three Wednesdays ago. 116, Psalms 116. Verse number 12. Psalms 116, verse number 12. Brother Smith and his wife with us again. Thank y'all for being with us. Got one of our visitors. You're from up north, aren't you? He's been here a couple of years now. Got here a little late this year. Good to have you, sir. All right, 116, verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? So we looked at this verse and we understand that this is about our response. And what are we responding to? The goodness of the Lord. And this, and we looked at a couple of areas. First, we looked at the physical benefits. And so, I'm not in too good of a health. I got an ingrown toenail. Oh, I got a bunion on my foot. Well, I got earache. Well, be thankful you got ears. Be thankful you got a foot to have a bunion. Thank you got fingernails to have ingrown nails. Well, He's given us a lot of physical benefits. If you hadn't realized it or not, we live in a bountiful nation. We really do. I don't see nobody around here on the workforce that's working for a bowl of rice today. You know, you may not have the best paying job, but you're not working for a bowl of rice and hoping that's going to be enough to feed you, and hopefully you can get picked up tomorrow. So He's been very good to us in a bountiful manner. I didn't see any horses hooked up outside. Nobody rode a donkey in the church today. May have to take an Uber. I don't know the situation, but that's better than walking. So bountifully He has been good to us physically, and then we looked at spiritually how good He's been to us. And this is the benefits. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? So the psalmist is making this very personal, because a lot of times we look around and say, well, you know, what can our church do? Well, collectively, we can do a lot. And that's how missions work. You know, collectively, we have missions offering to the plate, and we separate it out, and we support missionaries through that collectively. But to get collective offerings starts with individual. What can I? It's personal. Now, and why am I doing this? Because of all the benefits toward me. And so, spiritually speaking, I mean, he chose us from the foundation of the world to die on the cross of Calvary so man might have eternal life. Revelation 13:8. From the foundation of the world, He was the Lamb slain. From before Adam and Eve ever sinned, He had already had you in mind, had me in mind. That's a wonderful thing, dear friend, that know that Jesus Christ would die on the cross of Calvary, and He set His face like a flint. To do so, and we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and repentance toward God, and we are born again instantaneously. And the Holy Spirit of God moves in and takes residence in us. So, that's a spiritual blessing, and then the adoption of sons. I mean, first in John 1:12, He gave them power to become the sons of God. I thank the Lord that I am a child of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And And I think about the grace of God that's so bountifully bestowed upon us, just freely bestowed upon us. These are spiritual benefits, and so we looked at those really close, and then the question still remains, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits? And the first thing we looked at was love. Why love? Because He first loved us. And I'm not talking about this little feel-good, fuzzy little love that we deal with. I'm talking about a godly love, a 1 Corinthians 13 type love, where I might be something in the eyes of men, but without love, I am nothing. Without God's love, I am absolutely nothing. And then we said that we should render unto the Lord first. We should love Him because that's the first and greatest of all commandments, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and everything within us. And then secondly, the love that we bestow upon God and we return to God, we said we should be praising Him. And He's worthy to be praised. Absolute worthy to be praised. What's praise? That means when I praise God, I am saying He's valuable to me. He's valuable to me. Third thing I told you was after praising, and praise and worship's really kind of close there. But we should worship Him, and the 96 Psalms. Look back over there real quick, 96 Psalm, if you would. Flip back a few Psalms and just read there what it says. 96 Psalm. And verse number 8. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come unto His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. What shall I render? Well, I think I need to love the Lord God because He first loved me. Back in our Psalms over there, verse number 1, if you look at Psalm 116, verse 1, I love the Lord because. That's what the Psalm is, because He heard my prayer there in verse number 1. And so I love Him, I praise Him, I worship Him, and then I told you that we need to fear Him with a reverent love. That was the fourth thing we looked at. I'm trying to get this call back up over here. We don't want to do these. I just want to. Psalms chapter 4, verse 4 says, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your own bed and be still. I mean, stand in awe. I mean, I'm not talking about the fear that, oh, He's going to strike me down and kill me. Although the New Testament tells us we should fear the one that can cast our soul into hell. I'm seriously about that. But I told you last week that we will not get to that point if we stand in reverent awe of God. If the reverent awe will keep me from being out there doing things that I should not be doing. And therefore I will not be, listen, He's not giving me the fear of bondage. He's giving me peace, joy, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, all these their fear's not in there. So what happens is, I'm going to try to get over this real quick, is that when you're driving down the road real fast, I mean, you're going real fast, like you're going up to I-95, man, you've got to get to South Carolina, North Carolina, but just somewhere you got to get up through there. And man, it's a long ways up 95. You know it's a long ways. I mean, it just seems like 95 goes and goes and goes. It's like getting on I-10 and trying to go across, from Jacksonville to Pensacola. You can just drive forever and ever and ever. It seems like you never get there. But first thing, you see something off in the distance parked in the car. What do you do? Parked in the woods. You hit the brakes. Why? Fear comes over you because you're doing wrong. I'm not talking about that kind of fear, listen to friend. If you stand in reverential awe of God, it'll keep you out of that sin. This is where most of us live. We're looking around. Listen, the eye of God is open unto all things.
Amen.
You can do it at night, do it in your closet, do it, you know, when you're alone. Different, God's there. So what keeps you from there? Reverential awe of God, a godly type fear of God. Then, I told you last week, on top of the fear, we need to, what shall I render is, the fifth thing is our bodies. Present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God. If we present our bodies unto God, we'll not be involved in abusing this body. Why? Because what? No, you're not. This body is the temple of God. So we looked at that there, right? So now, we're caught up. Here's the sixth thing. I told you there's eight things. The sixth thing is service. Service. Now listen, don't forget the question. We've got to keep this question in mind. Verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord? Service. And I'm talking about obedient service. I'm talking about this half service. Well, I'm going to do just enough so the preacher don't get at me. Well, if you're doing just so the preacher don't get at you different, you're doing it all for the wrong reasons.
Amen.
We're not to do eye service. We're not to do so pastor sees us, the deacon sees us, the song leader sees us. We're to render our bodies in service to the Lord in obedience. And here's one thing, dear friend. With God, there's no straddling the fence either. You either serve Him or you're not. Matter of fact, He said, if you put your hand to the plow and you look back, wow, that's what He said. Now, this is from the Word of the Lord. So we need to get involved in service. So, if we're saved and we're baptized and we've assembled ourselves as a body of believers, that's what a local church is, saved, baptized, body of believers assembled together to do the work of the Lord, and the Bible likens the local church as a body, some's the ear, some the nose, some the mouth, some's the feet, some's the hands, and somebody's the underarm. I don't like being the underarm. Hey, you're God's underarm. Tell you, power stick, dear friend, ain't got nothing on God. David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper at the house of God.
Man.
Well, somebody's the big toe. Somebody's that little old bitty pinky toe down yonder. That's just how God likes it is. Who's who? Quit worrying about the who's who. The head is He.
Amen.
That's where we got to get at. Who's the head? Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And if Jesus Christ tells you to be the old scruffy elbow, be the elbow. Get in there and serve. There's nothing wrong with some elbow grease, dear friend. Nothing wrong with that. And so, it ought to be obvious to us that I should be doing something for the cause of Christ. Why? What shall I render unto the Lord? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, I am His workmanship. Workmanship. The Bible says we labor together. That's what the Bible says, dear friend. It's something, we got a powerful God. Think about just for a moment in the New Testament. You got 5,000 men plus women and children. They're hungry. They need to eat, and the Lord's trying His disciples and said, listen, y'all feed them. We're going to send them away. That's how we work. Let's just send them away. Not the Lord. The Lord said, listen, what we got here? And there's some fish and there's some bread. And listen, if the God of heaven can bless and break bread and feed all of them, He didn't need the disciples to distribute. That was His method. To teach us that He wants us in knowing what He's doing.
Amen.
Hey, He didn't need the disciples to take up the fragments where there'd be 12 baskets. Isn't that amazing? 12 baskets, 12 disciples, and one of them full of the devil. What does that teach? He reigns on the just and the unjust. Just like He washed old Judas' feet.
Amen.
I'm a better Christian than them. Ain't none of us a better Christian than Christ.
Amen.
And He washed the feet of men. I'm not advocating feet washing. Listen. We're going to baptize. We're going to do the Lord's Supper. If you want your feet washed, you can go home and get you some soap. Wash them at home. And I don't care if you call me not being humble or not. I ain't washing your stinking feet. It ain't done it. I ain't doing it. But it's obvious to me. It should be obvious to you, dear friend, that the Lord has left us here. This is where He put it in the New Testament. He said in the Gospel, He said, "Occupy until I come." Don't be squatters. Some of you, dear friend, got cobwebs growing on your pew where you sit there so long, not being busy in the house of God, things of God. I mean, just grass growing up around your feet. Mildew, listen, growing down your back. Because you're not involved in the things. I'm talking spiritually now. You have to, allegorically look at things a little bit. What are you saying? I'm saying sometimes we're lazy as God's people. Here's the question. What shall I render unto the Lord? It's the whole question. 4 weeks, I believe, now we've been looking at this. What shall I render unto the Lord? Look at verse 16 of this chapter. Verse 16, it says, "O Lord, truly I am thy servant." I am thy servant, and the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. If you've been born again, set free by Jesus Christ, dear friend, you're His servant. You're His servant. Find something to do for the Lord. I mean, we've got a lot to do. I love that old song, "Work for the Night Coming." I mean, listen, it's going to come a day different. Let me tell you something. I'm looking forward, Brother Bernie, to the day when I get to put my feet in the river of life and get to sit down there and talk to the Lord and Paul and Zacchaeus and Amos. I want to talk to Ezekiel about laying at the temple gate naked. Yeah, he did. I don't get it, Brother Ray. I want to know why Jeremiah stole a girdle. Hit it off in a clay jar. I'm going to ask. That's a lot of talking. I mean, we got, it's one long eternal day. Might as well do something. Talk about the things of God. There's things in here, dear friend, that I ain't quite got. I really want to be honest with you. I want to know how it was when that old fire chariot shot up out of there and took Elijah off. I want to talk to the Shadrach, the Meshach, and Abednego. I want to talk to Daniel. About did he pull out one of them little whiskers and floss his teeth with that lion that while he slept? I have my questions. I want to know what Noah did with the. I want to know what he did with the termites and what he did with the woodpeckers. That's a long time, but I ain't there yet. Paul said, "Listen, I want to go, but it's better I stay." Also, I'm in a hard spot here. What I'm saying, but we got a lot to do, dear friend. We got a lot to do on behalf of the Lord. So we need to start, serving Him and waiting on the Lord, like a good waitress or waiter does for us, Some of you get so aggravated and mad about the waiter or the waitress and you're leaving pennies just to show them how bad they were. I wonder if God dropped a penny every now and then, how we'd feel.
That's right.
Oh, Brother Ben, I wonder if God worked on the tip section. Is that how He did it? Oh, yeah, that was worth a dime. God's so good to us.
Amen.
So good to us. So what's left? Well, let's back up. Let's read them again. I said love. First, we talked about the spiritual benefits, the physical benefits, right? We went over those verses. And then we talked about
the great benefactor, the Lord God Himself. I mean, He is, He's wonderful. And then we said we should love Him because He first loved us. We should praise Him because He's worth, He's worth the praise that we pour into. He's worth actually a whole lot more than what we praise Him for. And then we should worship Him because we're going to all kneel down. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He's Lord of Lords. And then we fear. We should have that heavenly reverential fear. And then our bodies. Here, Lord, here am I. Take it. It's yours. You've redeemed it. You bought it back. And then we should serve Him. And then, verse 17. Look what it says in verse 17. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I think we need to render unto the Lord a little gratitude. We've become a very ungrateful bunch of cooks. We are. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't get this. I don't get this. A while ago, I showed in the teen class a clip of a man that was born with no arms, no legs. No arms, no legs. Now he's a man. He was born that way. Now he's a man. He lived it all his life, and he just seems grateful that he just has the opportunity just to speak to somebody, to tell them how good God's been to him. I mean, the gratitude. I will offer unto you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3 says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of life. Colossians 2, verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving.
Amen.
No gratitude. Kind of goes a long way, don't it, Brother Randy? I tell you, there's one thing that bothers me more than anything. I have to pray, Brother Jim, Lord, God help me. I don't help a lot of folks just without some inquiry. Usually I try to get them to get in the truck, come back here to the church, and just pretend like I want them to work before I help them. But I told y'all this time, there was something about the whole thing. I was in a hurry. It was at 7-Eleven. I sent my daughter in. I was pumping gas, and the guy come there, and he gave me a long story. And I don't know, I was feeling kind of mushy or something. I don't know. I handed him a $5 bill. I did. I'm not bragging on myself. And he looked at it. Brother Keith looked at it. I said, huh, I was trying to get to Jacksonville. I need to catch the bus. I need at least 20. I said, oh, yeah. Give me that back. He gave it back. I put that $5 back in my wallet. I put my wallet by my truck. I said, have a good day. Gratitude. But where in the world? You ain't did nothing and got $5. But it wasn't good enough. A little bit, just a little bit of gratitude. Colossians 4:2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Let me read that again. Colossians 4:2. Continue in prayer.
Amen.
And watch in the same with thanksgiving.
Amen.
I tell you, we need to have a little bit of gratitude. I mean, just a little bit of gratitude. The payment of our vows. Listen, you know the Bible says this, that it is better not to vow something than to vow and not do it. And how many times, Brother Carl, just imagine with me, how many times, just right here in this little, in our church family, how many times we said, Lord, dear God, if you get me out of this, I'll do whatever. I'll do, and then we don't do.
Amen.
Look at Numbers 30, verse 2. Remember the question, what shall I render? So it's a provoking thought here. Because you know as well as I am standing up here today, our God has been real beneficial to us. I mean, it ain't none of this here switch and bait stuff. God didn't advertise a Cadillac when you get up there and give you an Impala. God advertised a mansion, dear friend. And I'm telling you, when we get to heaven, it's going to be a mansion. He didn't advertise life for a little bit and life in a small amount. He said life eternal and life more abundant. Numbers 30 and verse 2. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word, he shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. Look in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes over after Proverbs. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And let's look at verse 4, 5, maybe 6. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 4. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better it is that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. In other words, don't write a check your body can't cash.
Amen.
Quit making these deals with God. If you're not going to do it, don't make a deal with God. Just suffer through the consequences of your decision. Where you got whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Quit making these deals with God and then not keeping them. I mean, this is serious business, dear friend.
Amen.
The Word of God is serious. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wait a minute, Gayer, I really didn't mean now. What? Keep an eye closed, tight. What Barney Fife say? Tick and lock. Because we have a God that loves us, cares for us, and wants our very best. He says you're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Our faith is our victory. Look back over to Psalms 116, verse 2. Psalmist said there, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him. Listen what it says. As long as I live. I'm telling you, verse 12, take it serious. What shall I render? I just laid out 8 things, and I guarantee you, dear friend, you are smarter than I am. Some of you are more spiritual than I could ever hope to be. God, the Holy Spirit, done prompted you on 6, 7, 8, 9 other things. Some of you jotted them down. You have to take it serious. Because here's the challenge. What shall you render? What shall you render unto the Lord? What shall you in view of all of his benefits, this is what the psalmist says. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I think this is how it is sometimes. Sometimes we look at other people. So if I had it like Brother Jim, I'd worship him more. me and Brother Jim, single man. Don't have a wife to care for. Don't have children to care for. But if I was like Brother Jim, well, think back that you wasn't born married.
Amen.
If I had $1 million, I'd give it to the Lord. Says a man who has 10 and won't give a dollar. Well, I'm just waiting to win, Pastor. Waiting to win what? A big ball bash, Florida lottery thing, whatever it's called. It's amazing. You never find those lottery machines over in a rich man's neighborhood. Listen, dear friend, the benefits of God are very impressive. Very impressive.
Amen.
When you consider it. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. What shall you render? He's worth it. His benefits towards us are marvelous. What page, Brother Jim? 341, church.